must almost be a relief for hockey fans in Minneapolis. Norm Green is moving the Minnesota North Stars to Dallas.
Touchdown! No! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs! What you
wanna say. Love in fair territory, and then lands fair. Wow.
So a huge break for the Yankees. Joe Mauer should be at second base.
With the sixth pick in the 2009 NBA draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Johnny Flynn from
yards left hash. Snap good, spot down. Wolch's kick is up, and it is no good. He missed it. Are you kidding me? The season can't end like that.
Tragedy plus time equals comedy. I see you guys smiling over here.
Well,
Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderfully,
that's
JP.
A win. And we have a guest today to sort of wrap up football. Do you want to introduce?
I do indeed. And that's why I was kind of laughing, because Terry had not heard our opening before, right? And he and I are old friends, and we go way back, and we're about the same age. So I just kind of looking at his reaction to the opening is priceless, because that's how I was squirming in week one. I did not know what your opening would look like. We have Terry Moore, attorney extraordinaire with Helmuth and Johnson. Terry, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, Mikey.
Good, good, good. We are glad to have you. Terry and I stayed up late last night playing poker, so...
Actually, I didn't stay up that late.
No, that's a good point.
I went out early.
I didn't want to.
Nice of you to say that. Nice of you to say that.
So yeah.
Well, anyway. I hope you saved enough energy to, give football a proper send off. This will be our last episode, Terry. We've gone through all of Mike's mental Rolodex of all the biggest heartbreaks, and I've deep dove and fed him more info than he probably ever wanted to know, and. Yeah. You said you wanted to come and heat up the mics and get something off your chest. I thought, what a fitting way to wrap up football. We can kind of just go through chronologically what we went through already. Yeah, and then you can join in on the catharsis, if it is that.
Okay, I didn't ask, how much time do we have?
We're going to keep it. We're going to try to keep it an hour, but you let go. This is your chance. Like, in front of God and everybody, you let everybody know how you feel about this Minnesota Vikings journey.
All right, JP.
Because it's not like they've been unsuccessful.
That's a nice way to say it. I'm going to begin at the very beginning.
Okay.
I'm 7 years old, and it started quite successfully, actually. First football game I ever watched on TV, Vikings versus Cleveland Browns, 1969. The Vikings won their only league championship. Pre-merger, they won the National Football League championship, and I fell in love with a quarterback named Joe Capp. I actually went back a couple years ago and watched tape of that game after Joe Capp died.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable what he was doing. These quarterbacks these days, they don't pass for tough.
Yeah, it's a little different game now.
Yep. So, yeah. Then a couple weeks later, the Vikings went to their first Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when the snowball started to roll downhill.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
It's gained some steam over the years. A full-blown avalanche at this point.
Absolutely. And the beauty of Terry being one of our guests is he has not heard any of our podcasts.
Right.
So just about everything we're going to talk about today, we have had an episode on. And so it'll be good to have this therapeutic cleansing,
yes,
of sorts. So, Terry, you're helping me as much
we're
as hopefully
get it
we're
all
helping
out.
You. Yes.
Get it all out on this episode. This is your last chance, Mike.
Yep.
And Terry, I'm happy to have you here to
sort
of go over where we've been and where this franchise is going. You brought it up. I mean, 1969, 70 Super Bowl. They get there with Cap. And it's disappointment. What number of Super Bowl was that, Mike? Can you remember?
Number four.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
4-4.
And yep. I know one thing about that Super Bowl. They didn't score any points in the first half.
Yeah, that's like saying I didn't hit my drive 350 yards. It just doesn't happen.
It's not something that seems physically possible at this point.
Exactly.
Now.
They better score a fucking point if they make it back to there's an F bomb. They better score a point if they make it back to the Super Bowl. I don't know if it needs to be a trick play. I don't even know. I don't need like onside. I guess you have to say you're onside kicking
nowadays.
There's no more Sean Payton sneaky onside kicks. We got to get some points on the board.
It's going to be fourth and 3 inches from the 50, and they're going to kick a field goal.
Yeah. What do you remember? I mean, Mike, my memories of us talking about that stand out is like, if you only knew then when you were 5, 6, 7, remind me, how old were you when?
Oh boy, I was 6, soon to be 7.
So there'd be roughly 55 more years of this to come. This heartbreak.
Yeah.
We use the example, the simile, like it's like Lucy with Charlie Brown, right? We bring this up every show.
Exactly, right.
He doesn't trust her. And then something happens. You know, Moss comes into the team. A season that wasn't supposed to happen, and we'll get there with some of these seasons.
We'll probably get to Charlie Brown kicking it wide left.
Like. Yeah, part of the opening. Yeah. Absolutely. This year, real quickly, this year, that Atlanta game was, I'm sitting there watching and going, not again. I mean, national TV, and we crapped the bed. Yeah. It was one of the worst performances in the history of the Vikings, and that's saying a lot, you know, especially under KOC. You know,
That wasn't pretty. We can talk about JJ later if you guys want to. Let's try to stick to the chronological timing of your suffering here.
Yes.
So I have two images from the 1969 Super Bowl that are seared in my head.
Okay.
One is that fat Effenheimer Hank Stram with that trench coat sitting on the sideline, having changed his entire defense and fooled Bud Grant, and with that smirk on his face.
He was mic'd up, too. First time ever, I think.
Yeah.
That's right.
And they caught the misery on forever.
And then the other one is the Vikings, I'd never doubted they would win that game, even when they were down 11 points in the second half. And Ursel McBee with Otis Taylor beating him to the ball and spinning to his left inside the sideline. McBee goes down like the Saints guy at the Minneapolis Miracle, and Otis Taylor is gone, and it's 23-6 and 7. And
You have a good memory of that.
It's scorched into his brain.
Yeah, this is what trauma does.
Most painful things are scorched in your brain.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit in episode 1. I was just so distraught. My father, and we talked about this too, but from being from Italy, he would start swearing in Italian. And he would start throwing stuff at the TV. And so that's what I remember of the game. My dad, anyway, Hank Stram being mic'd up and using some terminology incorrectly. And you.
Yeah. I was just going to bring that up. I was watching Colin Cowherd was on in the background, and his sidekick, that Jason character, used the term. They just want to matriculate the ball down the field. Now, matriculate has nothing to do with football. If you look at the definition, it's a malaprop. I don't know what he was trying to say. But that word has stuck to where now people in today's media are misusing his dumb word, that malapropism. It's hilarious. But, documented. Mike was right. It was the first time a coach had been mic'd up, and he's having a really nice time at the Vikings' expense.
He really is.
Yeah. And a fun fact, by the way, in the dictionary, if you look it up now, one of the definitions for literally is figuratively. You misuse a word enough, it becomes part of the language.
When people say, I laugh so hard I literally shit my pants, no, you didn't.
Well, you're not that old yet.
Maybe, okay. All right, so that's your introduction into Viking fandom. Little disappointment. There's always next year, and we got Fran back, right?
Not yet.
Okay, what do you got?
So we got my guy Joe Capp.
Yes, we do.
I love Joe Capp. And then in the summer of 1970, he signs with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. He's our quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, people don't get traded. People don't, certainly not my guy who I've been following now for, well, two games, but I'm seven.
Yeah.
You were invested.
But that's okay because we had Gary Kawazo at that time.
I don't even know who that is. You guys want to enlighten me?
No. Okay. That's how nondescript he is, JP. Okay. All right. I remember the name. I couldn't tell you if he ever took a snap, did he?
Oh, he took a lot. He was our starting quarterback until, I want to say, 73 we trade, or 74 was it? 73 we trade back for Tarkenton.
Yeah.
But the 1970, nobody talks about this. The San Francisco 49ers, who never won a thing, ever. They were horrible forever, like at the same time the Pittsburgh Steelers were.
Yeah.
The Vikings go 12-2, like they did almost every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching at the Conroy's house, of course, you know that. Family's family neighborhood friend. We always, they came to our house, or we went to their house to watch the games. We drove to Hinckley for the home games. The 49ers come in December into Minnesota and beat the Vikings in a cold December day outdoors. No, I mean, that was one of those games. I don't know what the line was, but I'll bet the Vikings were 10
What year
favorites.
Was this?
That was 1970. It's the next season.
Oh, the next season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What was their record that next season? Because I only covered what Mike, you know.
I'm going to bet you they were 12-2.
Yeah.
They were 12-2 every year in that era, except once they were 11-3 and once they were 7-7. Tarkenton's first year, they were 7-7.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was the year that the Dolphins went undefeated.
Okay. What was that, 72? That's 72 Dolphins, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Because 73, they come back and they make their first Super Bowl with Fran.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Mike falls in love, lifelong, yeah. Favorite player type deal.
Absolutely. I just looked him up. Yeah, 72-78, Fran came back.
And like I said, they weren't unsuccessful.
No.
Just you guys never got it over the line, or some, you know, like the Hail Mary game happens.
So,
yeah. Look, anguish. That's, if I had to use one word to describe your guys' looks, when I said, you know, for, the Hail Mary, you just anguish on your face.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, yeah. if you want to talk to me about the worst thing the Dallas Cowboys ever did to the Vikings, it's not Herschel Walker. It's
the Hail Mary.
Drew Pearson.
Drew Pearson, yeah. What pushed, you believe that he pushed off. I'm going to make a wild guess and say you believe it was OPI?
Yeah, I'll just roll tape.
Yeah. Well,
it wasn't something you could overturn a call with the evidence that I saw.
Well, you're wrong. You're just wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And don't pretend to be a neutral observer.
Look
you're
at
not
the
from
thickness
here.
Of his
you
glasses,
don't love us.
Terry.
What's that?
Look at the thickness of his glasses.
Well, regardless, Dallas was celebrating that year, and you guys were...
That's a good point. And
so can I bring up something else about that?
Yeah, bring.
Sure.
On the play before...
Uh-huh.
The play before, they have a chance to sack Staubach.
Uh-huh.
It might have been two plays before, but he kind of escapes, and he gets, again, seared into my mind. He running to the sideline. He ducks just past the stick and keeps the game going. He gets out. If they'd have tackled him in bounds, awesome. If he doesn't get the first down, awesome.
Wasn't there like a 4th and 18 or something?
There was a 4th. He had every stat for the last 1 minute and 53 seconds.
And what?
Anything that could have happened against the Vikes happened, did it not? I mean, you had every.
Yeah,
you know,
including a referee getting hit with a whiskey bottle
by an irate
Dallas guy threw that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
yeah. It was the one Dallas guy in the stadium at the time. But
I don't remember the exact
thing. There was another thing that was like a sliding doors moment. He threw like a little outlet, like a pass to I think their running back, and it hit him right in the hands, and he dropped it, which stopped the clock. And the very next play was the Hail Mary. My thesis was if he catches that. You know, they're scrambling to get it, you know.
They're scrambling to throw laterals around or whatever.
Everything broke wrong as they...
Yeah, I can't remember the exact number of yards that Drew Pearson had a really nondescript game until that last 153.
That last drive.
Yeah.
He made the sideline catch. And that's where The security guard, I'm using hand quotes here, like sort of love tapped Drew Pearson. Remember? Did you know this?
No.
Okay. There's a security guard that really made a spectacle of himself. He would go get the the ball after they kicked the extra point, like behind the back, it back to the referee. This guy was a real showboat. Okay. And he was
But Grant hated him.
Yeah. He was an obvious like diehard Vikings fan. And when Drew Pearson made that 4th and 18, if it was a whatever it was, 4th and long, and he got pushed out. Remember, that was the rule back then. If you push someone out, then it becomes a judgment call where if the referee thinks that they would have landed inbound.
Right.
So that rule's not around anymore, probably for good reason. Well, he gets pushed out, and the security guard like is so frustrated, he goes over and it looks like he wants to kick him, but he like sort of slows up at the last and just kind of love taps him. He got suspended from the stadium for
year.
I forget the guy's name.
You're gonna kick Drew Pearson.
It's like Jankowski. Jankowski.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to say that? I don't know if he's alive still.
No, we said his name at one point in time and then but he was one of the first people to help the official, but that kind of was his job. My argument was like, do your job and maybe the whiskey bottle, I mean, he was security. Maybe the whiskey bottle doesn't get thrown or whatever.
Yeah. Well, Dick Jankowski.
Well, same to the referee.
Wait.
Do your job. Do you want
maybe a whiskey bottle
too
went
soon?
Down.
Wouldn't too soon?
I doubt it's too soon because I'm almost certain that guy's dead.
Yeah.
The referee, that is.
Folks who listen to our podcast, all 12 of you, heard this story, but I was in an outdoor hockey game that day, and it was like, cold as heck, as we remember. We're in the locker room taking our stuff off. The game's over, and there's a TV in the locker room. And it's the last minute and whatever. And as I'm taking my skates off, I'm looking up, and I'm like, yeah, come on. And, of course, we know what happens. One of my teammates was a Cowboys fan, and he and I ended up going at it in the locker room.
In a fist.
I was pissed. I was so mad. And I think half the team, most of the team were Vikings fans, so... But anyway, that's just...
Yeah, we did a four-part series on the Fran Tarkington years alone.
Because
they made it three times, and then the Hail Mary was the fourth, so...
And that was arguably their best team of those 4 years.
Well, they had a killer defense.
Yep.
And Krause and the fearsome, whatever, the Purple People.
They were still in their prime.
Foreman is a guy I never heard of. We call him the fantasy god around here. He was the first, like, dual-threat running back. Was he the first? I don't know.
I don't know if he was the first.
But he was certainly...
Paul Hornung was the triple threat.
Yeah.
yeah.
Now we're going way back.
Yeah. But Paul Hornung could kick.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Back in the day.
I think I remember something about that. He was actually their field goal kicker.
Yeah, they said that his scoring record would never be broken because he kicked and he scored touchdowns. But, of course, he played 12 games a season in those days.
Right, right.
So that was the middle year, the gut shot straight, so to speak, of course that's the year they would have won, right?
Yeah.
Whatever gets you guys to sleep at night, I don't know.
And by the way, here's a little known disappointment. I remember watching a game in Hinckley, Minnesota. The Dolphins were undefeated in 72. I'd say it's mid-season, maybe week 5, maybe week 9, I don't know. But the Vikings had the Dolphins on the ropes. Then the Vikings ended up 7-7 this season. And the Dolphins, I believe, the Dolphins drove down and scored a late touchdown to win the game. There was a penalty first down in there where we had them stopped. And people don't talk about that, but you know, if the Vikings had just had done that, then nobody would ever be undefeated.
Mm.
Still,
they could have ruined that perfect season.
Yeah,
that's the only. There were 14 games back then, right?
Yeah,
there were 14.
14, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, you have a phenomenal memory, Terry. Maybe because I'm in so much pain that I'm just blocking. But
yeah,
well, in
self-preservation, Mike, you seem a little bit more in touch with your feelings, which I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing.
No.
In this old school era, I was age 7 to age 14.
That's the formative years.
Primary Vikings era. And by the way, the Packers were awful in those years. Awful. And I knew a kid who was from Green Bay that moved to Minnesota who wouldn't come to school on Mondays because the Vikings would always win and the Packers would always
lose. He couldn't take the shame.
Couldn't take the shame.
Yeah.
So
jokes on us.
So we have, before we close out the Fran Tarkin years, is there any other memories that you want to get off your chest or observations about those years in particular? Because there's some pretty lean years, and we jumped all after Fran. We went to 87. So
yeah.
Anything so, Fran-related those years or so in between?
The other image that I have that would have won us a Super Bowl is against the Oakland Raiders. Very early in the game, first or second drive, it's 0-0. We block a punt. The punt is blooping back toward behind all the players, and Bobby Bryant, the cornerback, is trying to run under it, trying to catch it. Doesn't catch it. It bounces, hits him in the shin. We still get possession, but we don't do anything with the drive. And Kenny Stabler leads him down the field. And
that's what I always say about football. It's an oblong-shaped ball. It's a single elimination tournament. Like a lot of the injury luck, a lot of this stuff is just straight variance or luck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if God hates you, it's even worse.
He has mentioned, JP has mentioned the God hates us.
No, I'm trying to do a unifying field theory of like the Minnesota nice, the passive aggressive with the poor sports results and the torture and suffering. Is it all related? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
It very well might be.
Yeah.
It very well might be. And I, speaking of God, let's go to last thing on Drew Pearson.
Sure. Yeah.
Roger Staubach.
Yes.
I heard in the same era, but I saw a commercial for, he's big in Fellowship of Christian Athletes, but he was doing an ad for the FCA, and one of my brother's older friends said, "Fucking cowboy athlete."
Yeah, it's these rivalries run deep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What about this guy? What about this guy?
No fucking question about that.
Who's that?
That is Jerry Byrne.
Yes, it is. Let's listen to it one more time.
No fucking question about that.
Now Jerry was at the hell. Now Jerry was the OC of the I think
all four.
Yeah,
yeah.
Of 0 points. You know, in the first half of those four Super Bowls, then he gets a chance to be at the helm after the legend Bud Grant, who I've become a big fan. Bud Grant before we move on? Because Bud Grant is, I found him to be a good coach and seems like a better person.
Well, Bud Grant is the highest character guy that you'll ever see. He's down to earth. Little do people know that he won several championships as
Canada?
A coach in Canada yeah. before he came here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we were really bad before then.
Yeah.
Really bad. And he came on and turned the team around.
Yeah. It's a winning outfit. There's yeah. no arguing
and
that.
And Jim
yeah.
Finks was in there, right? I mean, that was really a great organization at the time. And he was so good that they hired Les Steckel.
Did we talk about that? Lester Steckel, former Marine, came in 84.
I have a good hunch of what his haircut may have looked like.
He was
yeah.
A real quick story on Les Steckel. He tried to motivate. And again, coming in after Bud Grant can't be an easy task, right?
Right.
It's probably the second coach beyond Bud. You know, the first guy takes all the yeah. grief. But he thought he would motivate the Vikings his first year. They went 3-13, I think, or something like that.
3-11.
3-11. And so he put like peanut butter in a diaper and ate it like it was crap, you know. Like,
yeah,
gosh,
yeah.
And you know,
yeah, I heard Bill I heard Bill Belichick use this move once.
Okay. I mean, so you grown men
it's like
athletes.
Bill Belichick,
I'm kidding.
Got some on his Super Bowl ring.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, this to me would not motivate me at all. You know,
what was the point?
So I don't remember the exact point. I don't know how there could be a point, but I don't know if you've heard that story.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. You got to eat shit to get where you want to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, but it was peanut butter.
Yeah,
yeah.
It wasn't.
You want to impress me, put the real thing in there. That's all I got.
The other yeah. thing he did on the very first day, Bud Grant was a real players coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have some stories.
Yeah. And he came in and said, no more country club. And he cut up credit cards in front of the team, which, by the way, this is a veteran team with a lot of success behind them. And they're like,
yeah.
dude.
What about the pancake story?
Well, yeah, you had a story about Bud.
What guy on the line was it?
Was it Carl Eller?
Yeah, the kind of the scariest one. They were having team meal. Everybody gets the same thing, you know. And he wanted pancakes for dinner. This reminds me of a giant baby. You know, like, I want pancakes. He throws his steak across the room, makes a big deal of it. Bud doesn't say anything. Just next team meal, everybody got two silver dollar pancakes. That's it. It's like, that is a bit of like cutting off your nose to spite your face kind of thing. Cause like, I don't know if that fueled the team properly, but he made a point.
Yeah.
Everybody's the same in here.
Yep,
man. I like Bud Grant. And yeah, plus those blue eyes.
Love, man. Bud Grant. Love Piercing. Bud Grant.
Yeah. Yep.
So we jumped ahead. Can we exit the 70s, enter the 80s?
So I bring up Les Stuckel for a reason. That year I was a senior in college. So that was the fall of my senior year. We would watch the games a little bit, but when they got so bad, I finally got away from the Vikings.
Yeah.
They don't matter to me. They don't care about me.
To keep the Godfather analogy, you've gone straight.
I've gone straight.
You're in the casino business. You're running an operation that's, watertight. Everything's lawful. And then what happens?
And then I start law school. In the fall of 1987, the Twins win the World Series.
I know. Okay. Things are changing to Minnesota.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm a third year law student, my last year of law school, which is a coasting year, a lot of fun, a lot of time to do stuff. So we were way into the Twins. And the whole 3-week strike that year in the NFL, we didn't even notice because the Twins were rolling through the playoffs and World Series. And all of a sudden there's the Vikings like they're winning all their games, and even though they lost all the strike games, they're going to make the playoffs, mm-hmm. and they're probably the best team in the NFC. So to go back to Godfather, they pulled me back in.
Just when you thought you were out, they pulled you back in.
Yeah, we had an episode on this.
Yeah, we did. And what do you remember from that episode, Mike?
I remember us having the scab players going, I think we went winless.
We
lost all three games.
Yes. Didn't you start 2-0 and then lost three?
Yep.
And who were the, refresh my memory, who were the key players?
Darren.
And that was Jerry
Nelson.
At the helm, right? Jerry at the helm.
Jerry, yeah.
Let me see if I can find my notes.
Yeah, Darren Nelson. We had Anthony Carter.
Chris Carter.
I don't think Chris was here yet. I think he was...
You might be right.
I think he came in 90.
Sammy White may have retired by then.
Ahmad Rashad. Ahmad Rashad?
No. He was long gone.
He was... So we had... we definitely had Anthony Carter. The name is escaping me. The funny thing about that last play, we'll jump right to that, when Whiskey Wade... with his happy feet, throws to Darren Nelson. And Darren, if you remember, Darren had to kind of reach out and dive for the ball, drops it. That would have tied the game. Right behind him was Anthony Carter standing there in the end zone. And I truly think, and we talked about this in the episode, that that pass was intended for AC. But Darren jumped out and dropped the ball, and the rest is history. Now, and then Doug Williams went on to be the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So
that's another one thing that's seared. That drop is seared in my mind. And I'm 7 years old again. I just thought, I watched the Twins pull this miracle off.
Yeah.
And the Vikings really, really were a long shot after losing those strike games. But there they are. And we're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So we thought. Yeah. And that whole, he just played a snippet of Jerry Burns. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. What was that regard to again?
Yeah. That was when someone said something about Bob Schnelker.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Bob Schnelker?
Yeah.
And, is he going to continue to be the OC or something to that effect? And Burnsy went ballistic. Is it Schnelker's fault that...
No fucking question about that.
it's a staple drop now. Yeah.
Is it Schnelker's fault that... I love Anderson. I love Anderson, but, you know, he runs out of his shoe. And, you know, is that Schnelker's fault? Is that, you know, the whole thing. We had to hear it. I remember, I think Mark Rosen was... It was the Channel 4 newscast I was watching, but everything was beeped out on TV, right?
Yeah.
He has the, I don't know if you still have it, but the raw.
Not on here, but we played the whole thing.
The whole thing. And I tell you.
We got the Denny Green too, don't worry.
Yeah.
So the whatever commercial that is where they use the guy, the playoffs.
Yeah.
The playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, Mora.
This would have been better, except maybe
too
not
many
appropriate.
Beeps, yeah.
Yes.
Too many beeps. The next, are we done with 87? Any other parting shots?
That's
Jerry?
All I got.
Yeah, okay. Well, what do you think about, what's your honest opinion about a guy named Mike Lynn, right? Mike Lynn, the GM for the, because what we're going to talk about next is the famous Herschel Walker trade, which they just went over. I don't know if you checked it out. On Netflix, they have that Jerry Jones Dallas Cowboys documentary they just put out, and they went over it. Except for my money, they left out the best parts. What do you think about Mike Lynn, because he did get fleeced, and he didn't know what was happening, and they had a plan. They sent him, so I don't know if you're aware of this, that Jerry Jones and Jimmy, mostly Jimmy in my opinion, there was not unrestricted free agency back then. It was pretty complicated. So they made an offer for a trade for Herschel Walker where they got players back from Minnesota. Do you remember any of the players, Mike?
They got
a single one. decent players, a couple linebackers, I remember. And they had no intent. What they did was they're like, what if these guys don't work out? I want you to attach a draft pick to it. So yep. Lynn thought they were just doing a deal for players. Jimmy thought, we're cutting this, like, to the point where when the guys came into Dallas, he told the coaches, don't start these guys. Only play them if you have to, because we're going to cut them and we're going to get these draft picks. And then once they were cut and they went back to Minnesota, they made deals for some of them, because what kind of locker room is that when you've been, oh yeah, we were just kidding. We traded you, but they wanted the draft pick instead, so we'll take you back. Like, and then they ended up trading for a couple of the players. So they got draft picks and the players. I mean, that's a fleecing.
And those draft picks were that all-pro offensive line that won a few Super Bowls for Dallas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The battery Maryland. Of players, one way or another, it's not, because Dallas did more wheeling and dealing, so it's not a straight, like, we got the eighth pick, and with that player we drafted X player. It gave them capital to make moves, right?
So Mike Lynn, and if you remember, the ownership structure there was splintered. And Mike Lynn wanted to take over. He started like as selling season tickets or something and worked his way up. And
he wasn't a professional general manager. He was learning on the job, you know?
Yeah. And he was so excited because missing one piece, we don't have a running back.
Let me stop you right there. And I've asked Mike this, and you can reiterate, Mike. Do you feel like you're one piece away? You remember that team?
I feel, I thought at the time that we didn't need Herschel Walker, that we were going to win or not without it. The Herschel Walker I thought we were getting was the one we had the first week in the game against Green Bay. Where, by the way, my niece was born that week.
Yeah.
And I told my brother to name her Herschel.
And?
He did not.
Okay.
Thank God.
Thankfully. Yeah. Yeah.
No, hardcore fan over here.
No doubt.
But we were getting was a worn out shoe.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. You're a workhorse back if you have 300 carries these days. I forgot what the numbers are, but in the USFL, I think it was over 400 carries. Like, you know, he was already, what we know about running backs today is they're one of the more replaceable positions. People make a big deal, like, what's his name from Boise just went, what, he goes sixth overall for the Raiders? Ashton Genty. And that's a controversial move because, like, running backs of all the players are the most, like, tradable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're fungible.
Thank you. And they, the Lynn and the other brain trust at the Vikings sent like so much capital for a guy that not only, as we're finding out later, might play the position that's easiest to fill with some, you know, a decent player, but they mortgaged the future for him, you know, and he had already probably seen his best days. He had a little bit of a renaissance with Philadelphia. He's an amazing athlete. We went over, like, you know, the thing of like he only does push-ups.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And his speed training was like literally racing trains. He was from Augusta. I don't think he's a golfer, but he was from Augusta, Georgia. It's never a good sign, Mike, is it? Now, you correct me if I'm wrong. It's never a good sign when they have to talk you out of retirement when you're trading the whole future of your team, at least the draft future, for a player, and then you have to buy him a house and kick in another $1 million. That was the bribe that had to happen for him to even come up here.
Sounds a lot like the Brett Favre year when they had to talk him out of retirement.
But keep in mind this. 1986... the Twins had no following at all.
Mm-hmm.
1987, they had a good team, but they had magic playoffs. They won the World Series. The Twins were, they owned the town. That was, by the way, the KQRS morning show, which got Little Marky Rosen. That stretch made them the number one radio show in the morning show in the Twin Cities
for decades,
which they held until KFan passed him maybe 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
All that's
going on.
Amazing
what a little winning does.
Yeah.
Which
form
now
does. Mike Lynn, what is he doing when he's looking in the mirror?
He's trying to compete.
I want a piece of that.
Yeah.
I want some of that, man. I want to be interviewed by Little Marky Rosen.
He overplayed his hand.
Yeah. He panicked. In fact, I haven't panicked at poker since last night, but that's a different
that's
story.
Another podcast.
Yeah.
You know, being,
he had a pair of nines and he was playing them like aces.
You
know, being, you know, in my industry, when you're negotiating, the last thing you want to do is negotiate when you're desperate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like he would. I did not agree. You had mentioned this, JP, the capital that the Cowboys acquired because of that trade. They got Emmitt Smith. They got, I don't know if Michael Irvin was already on the team, but Russell Maryland.
Kevin Smith, DB, he was around for a long time. They ended up getting, Woodson?
Darren Woodson. Was
that.
Aikman part
And a lot of O-line. You know, they had that legendary O-line.
Yeah, Aikman. Yeah. You know, three Super Bowls.
There wouldn't be a documentary on Jerry Jones without the Vikings.
Yeah, no, that's...
But to be fair... If the Vikings had kept those draft picks, they wouldn't have gotten those players. They just wouldn't have.
No.
Well, they had this, Mike Lynn was still doing the drafting, or Jerry, or whoever the hell was at the helm at that point for making the decisions. Yeah, it's an integral part of the Minnesota lore, right? The Minnesota Viking fan lore, the Herschel trade.
Yeah.
It's got its own name. Yeah. You know, how many trades have... Oh, the Herschel trade. They know exactly what
everybody,
you're talking
about. Nationwide knows.
You talk about the worst five trades in
sports history.
It's on the list.
Yeah,
you got
Babe Ruth. The one that just happened, they say, with what's his name from Dallas to the Lakers.
That's too early for that.
Yeah, well, history will tell. Yeah, history will. Yeah, it's up there. It's certainly up there. And it should
Phil Esposito to the Bruins.
Should keep talking hockey. I need to brush up. It shouldn't surprise you guys that we didn't get to another heartbreak until 98. So, you know, decade. You could argue it set the franchise a decade behind.
So can I set my table for that one?
Yeah.
Okay. We're in 98 now. 98. We're in the 90s.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. So my oldest son was born in 1995. So it's 98. I got little kids this period of time. I'm a young lawyer trying. I'm out. The Herschel Walker trade put me out. I'm out again. Okay.
You're out. You're going straight.
I'm going straight. And we got in 91, we got the North Stars in the Stanley Cup Finals. We got the Twins in another series. It's just awesome, right? So, but now I've got a 3-year-old son. I'm going to take care of him on Sunday afternoons. TV on with the Vikings game. I would sit on the floor in front of the couch, throw
casually, just on in the background. You're not living and dying with every play. Okay.
Exactly. And, And he would run the ball and try to score a touchdown on the couch, and I'd tackle him, and it's wonderful bonding time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this team looked pretty good. And then I said, it was a Monday night game against Green Bay, and I said, you know what? I'm going to watch these guys. And kids are in bed now, and Randy Moss goes off.
Yeah. Randy Moss is a gateway drug.
Yes, it is.
You've had a full relapse.
I've had a full relapse. I'm back in.
Straight cash, homie.
Randy, you did it to him.
He's precious.
Go ahead. Okay.
So, and I remember saying things during that season because they did it all the time. I would say, they're the best 3rd-and-17 team in the league. And they would... I can't tell you how many times that year they made a first down on 3rd-and-15 plus.
Yeah, yeah. I have an yeah. Just throw it up to Randy.
Yeah, yeah, throw it up to Randy.
Be single covered, and if they're doubling him, throw it over to Chris Carter.
Yeah, exactly. And Randall Cunningham, probably from his work in the tile business, could throw that thing like 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he's yeah. I like this team. This is my favorite team of all the teams we went over.
Yeah,
I was. Got Randy. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I was gonna say I was at the Green Bay Monday night game in Lambeau. That was my first of 9 in a row that I went to. Oh, good for me. Anyway, I got to see it firsthand. And if you've been to Green Bay for a Viking, or I'm sorry, for a football game, and you see both them, the town when the Packers win, and I've been to both. I've been to the Spurgeon win game on New Year's Eve Day, which was brutal, but I've also was there for Randy. The town takes on a whole new personality. It's just a ghost town. Purple takes over, and we did that night, and that was just a super special year for me until the championship game. And the folks who do listen have heard it was personally and professionally painful because I was running International Market Square. So I spent close to $40,000 on Mick Sterling and the Stud Brothers, PA and Dubay, all this advertising, printing tickets, shirts, blah, blah. I was going to be the guy who went down in Minnesota sports history as having the largest Super Bowl party. Thank you, JP. Yeah. In the history of Minnesota, you've been to IMS, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we
oh,
used to have 40,000 person events there.
I've been to weddings there.
Exactly. And perfect venue for that, right? So when they lost to the Dirty Birds, I was physically, emotionally, mentally distraught. My wife picked up my sons and left the house because she knew. She saw the look in my eye. And not talking abuse, but I was like... not happy. Not a happy camper, personally and professionally.
So do you guys remember what happened in the last 30 seconds of the first half?
I do.
The Viking,
strip sack,
touchdown, and...
This is the championship game we're talking about?
Yeah.
Chris Chandler.
And I think we had a two-score lead, 10 or 14 points.
Yep.
And the ball out on their side of the 50. And I would agree completely. They're going for the kill, right? We're going to have a 3-touchdown lead. Randall Cunningham gets sacked, fumble, touchdown the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're 7 points or 3 points ahead. It's one of those games, and I've seen them a lot in a lot of sports.
Yeah.
The Bears-Vikings game, the first game, where the Bears completely outplayed them, but they didn't put them away.
Nope.
Where the
ultimately...
4 picks against Grossman and 2.
Oh, goals. No, this is the whole clip. It's 36
shut them
seconds.
Down that way.
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played 3 quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Ooh.
Thanks, Coach.
What do you say to that? But after that strip sack and then Chandler throws a TD, do you remember what Denny did?
No.
He tells Cunningham to take a knee.
After that, we
had like 30 something seconds left.
And the most high powered offense.
Bingo. The most prolific offense in the history of the NFL at that time. Now, Tom Brady and his team has since broken that record. But you take a knee with like 27 seconds left.
In poker, we call that tilt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, that was he was playing to not lose, not playing to win.
He could have been tilted that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes people tilt passively.
That's when I'm like, and that's when Tamara scooped the boys up and went, I'm going to go to my mom's. I'm like, good idea. Good idea. Yeah. It's like, seriously?
Thanks, coach.
I mean, there were so many effing bad things. Robert Smith running out of bounds.
Yeah. This is where the other theory that I have is that these modern players are holding the weight of an entire state, the joy, on their shoulders, and they make uncharacteristic mental errors because they're, I don't know, there's a saying in golf, we bring it up, like, golf's easy, I don't know if I agree with it, they say golf's hard when you care, you know, right? Like, you... Yeah. Is there something, you see what I'm getting at? Like,
yeah, well, yeah, the stress causes
uncharacteristic.
Mental errors.
Fine motor is the first to go when you're pressing, you know? Like.
Yeah. I wouldn't know. I live without fine motor skills. But I never, do you have an explanation? Why does Robert Smith run out of bounds there?
Is this when he retired? He didn't retire after this, did he?
No. Well, he did after, but several years.
Yeah,
after.
A couple of years. In the prime, kind of like Barry Sanders.
Oh, he retired after the Dante Culpepper year, though.
Yeah, the 2000, was that the 41 donut, I think? Anyway, yeah.
Can we get to that eventually?
Oh, that was two episodes ago, and we did. But this one is the most painful, and JP will attest to this. This is the one where I spew. If you listen,
you have
back
a lot of most painfuls.
I do, but this is the
2000?
No, 98,
you're right.
By far, 98, because of the professional, thankfully the owners of IMS came to me because I'm like, oh boy, they're going to shit can me. You know, they're like, Mike, we get it. And these guys lived out of state and they're like, we get it. We all thought the Vikings were going to the Super Bowl. 15-1, most prolific offense in the history of the NFL.
And a good defense.
A good defense, not a great defense, but you didn't have to be.
You don't need a great.
You didn't have to be when you're winning 38 to, 14 or whatever, Anyway, that one hurt.
But the battery of players are relatively young, and you knew you'd be back on some level, and you were.
Yeah.
We'll get to 2000. Go ahead. You have something you want to say about the 2000 campaign?
Yeah, was that 41 donut in 2000?
Yes.
Okay, so now my son is 5, turning 6 on that January day. That's his birthday party. And the game starts, just say the game started at noon, okay? His birthday party is scheduled for the Lifetime Athletic gym at like 1:30. And so my solution was, at noon, my son and I are sitting on the couch at the athletic club in their lobby watching the game on that, because I didn't want to miss any of this, right? But we had to go there. And by the way, expected a lot of moms to be bringing their 5-year-olds. Tons of dads showed up, because by the time we got comfortable,
they didn't want to be in the house.
Yeah. It was, the Giants completely blew them out, and I'm sitting there with my 5-year-old. And thinking about the Kansas City Chiefs and Hank Stram and Otis Taylor.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a bad thing I done to you.
Yep. It's
the thing I'm realizing now with this lifelong journey as Minnesota sports fans is it does work nicely as a timestamp. You know, you need timestamps to remember events, I feel, I think that's why people get a lot of tattoos. Like if you look at something and you're reminded of what was going on in the time you got the tattoo. You guys got tattooed metaphorically on your souls.
Wow.
Yeah. And
I wonder where you're going with
like
the tattoo thing.
It's like a real family thing, you know?
Yeah.
It really is a timestamp, and it is part of the fabric of your guys' lives.
Yeah. And
I don't think I'm missing out.
No,
at all.
No, you're not. I mentioned this during that episode.
But it's gonna be that much sweeter when you guys win, and I hope I'm
well.
For it.
Hopefully, that comes in my lifetime. Mike Tice was not the head coach at that point. I think he was I think he was a line coach, right?
Yeah.
And he's on Rosen Sports Sunday the week before, and he's I think we're gonna win. And they were so confident. going into that game, I'm like, what do they know that we don't know? You know, and of course, getting blown out. And I know exactly where I was. I was at my old buddy, Brian Johnston. Shout out to you, Brian. His house in Woodbury, because he always had a Super Bowl party or a, if the Vikes were in it, whatever. I left at halftime. I've never not watched a game.
All the way.
And I lived in St. Michael at the point, so it's like a 45-minute drive. And I wouldn't even turn the radio on. I wouldn't even turn it on whatever KFAN or CCO or whatever it was on, you know, back then. It's like I was out.
My son and I did not finish. We went to the party early. We did not finish. We didn't watch as much as we could, as we had time for.
Yeah.
It's like, and I think we might have changed it over to tennis or something.
Something a little more soothing.
I think what the listeners really want to know is how'd the party go?
It was a blast. Good. I remember almost nothing about it. Yeah.
You were in a fit of rage the whole time.
A bunch of 5-year-old boys banging into each other. And by the way, my kid got over that 41 a lot earlier than I took him about 8 minutes.
Kids are resilient.
Yeah.
We are not as much.
No. What's funny is all of my children, my adult children, are diehard Vikings fans. But they will tell you if they were sitting in this room, you didn't want to be around my old man when the Vikings lost.
It's a family tradition. Yeah. You didn't want to be around your old man either.
No. And because I would just look at him and go clean your room. I just did, Dad. Clean it again. despite that, they're still huge. And we've got this family chat going on during Vikings games. I oftentimes, like that Atlanta game this year, I put my phone up on the fridge. I didn't want to respond. I didn't want to say something I would regret later. So I just put the phone away. I'm a self-aware man. I now know.
Yeah, that's a good strategy.
So I have a brother a year older than me. So we went through this Velcro together. His son lives in Chicago, 32 years old. Huge Vikings fan.
Oh, boy.
He blasts a video to his friends in a group of us. Every morning with a Vikings chant or song or something about today's game. And now his 3-year-old son has started to appear in it, and he's walking around Chicago where he lives with Vikings gear on. And it's just going down, down, down.
I just want to make an observation.
Break the cycle.
When you said huge Vikings fan, I don't know if it was an unconscious reaction, but Mike said, oh boy. Like he had just been diagnosed with like type 2 diabetes or something. Well, like he's in for the fight of his life.
He is.
That's, you know, issue two, if you've been to Chicago, I've been to two Vikes games at Soldier Field. It's a trip,
rowdy.
Man. Oh yeah. We got, during the first game, Jeff George was our QB.
God.
And one of my vendors took me. I was running International Market Square. And so there were 30 of us on this little one-day trip, right? All expenses paid. We're drinking. We're eating. I thought we lost, but we won that in overtime field goal. We go to a place. The vendor that brought us probably dropped $3,000 or $4,000. We start singing the Skol Viking song, and we were asked to leave. Asked to leave. And
not asked to stop.
Nope.
No warning.
You need to leave.
Yeah. What did you see about the 4 picks against Grossman and 2 fumbles? What did you see about the Bears?
Sorry about that.
So your nephew has to deal with the Vikings' misery in Chicago.
Yes.
Which is
behind enemy lines.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I went, oh boy. So it's a double whammy there.
Anything about Dante's Inferno? That was the 2000 episode. He just kind of. They just inexplicably could not do anything really. 41-0.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I just don't. It was
the only thing I remember, and I brought this up during that episode. There was some type of conspiracy theory that because they lost communications for a while, and they thought the Giants figured out how to tap into their headset. And if you watch their offense, they knew every play. So I can see why they would think that. But I mean, there's got to, you know, that would be a very broad reaching.
Yeah, especially back in, in 2000. 2000. The technology is probably still hardwired.
You know, it's like, no, you just got your rear ends whipped.
That's... Wasn't the strategy just to throw it up to Randy if he's single covered, and then if he's double covered, throw it to Chris Carter? I mean, you know.
Well, they had Robert Smith was a great running back. They had, I mean, they were just a very good football team.
Yeah.
They were.
But I just thought of something on Dante's Inferno. I do have,
okay.
God hates the Vikings.
And he has mentioned that so many times.
I disagree.
And as we all know, Dante's Inferno is another euphemism for hell.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Yes. That was intended.
Yeah.
That was the reference. I was more talking about like a waking hell for the fans, but it was a hellish day for him.
Well, God hates hell. God hates the Vikings. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Brett Favre after it's been, what has it been? It's been 16 years. Since that magical campaign that ended again not so well, what are your thoughts? What were your thoughts when he first came over?
I didn't think much of it. I thought he was a has been, probably. You know,
yeah.
I keep in mind Brett Favre had a lot of successful years with the Packers, but how many Super Bowls did he win?
One more than us.
Yeah. Did he win one or two? But
no,
anyway.
He was in two. One. Lost to John Elway, I believe.
That's right.
There's no shame in that. But yeah, it was like 96 they won, and then 97 they lost.
But it was like a lot of these seasons, there's a running theme of like, you weren't expecting what happened for him just to
light it up. No, I didn't expect that at all.
So then Lucy gets the ball ready, and you're like, fine, okay, I'll buy in this one last time.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow, this is, you know, and in that, at that stage, I had. The stage of my addiction, I would kind of look at the Vikings and
what podcast are we on?
And passively,
we got Dr. Drew coming in, Doctor.
And then year after year, they would be good, and I would get sucked in. If they were a crappy year, I would have less interest. So I became a fair weather fan.
Yeah.
But,
and who could blame you?
Yeah. But,
yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, but, yeah, that's the one difference between you and I. But go ahead. Yeah.
But once I was in, I was all in. Once I was on the bandwagon, I wasn't sitting near the edge. I was got into the middle of the bandwagon.
Yeah.
Brett, let's see. Yeah, he who was the coach during the Brett Favre run?
Childress.
Right, him and Childress didn't get along.
No, they did not. And
do you know anything about this?
A little bit, but go ahead.
Oh, it was just like typical Brett Favre stuff. Like, he just does what he wants. Like, they call in a play, and he's like, no, we're throwing it to Percy.
Right. And
just running the team, splitting the locker room, you know.
Well, to be fair, he had more experience in football than Childress.
Childress
did.
Had no, there's no reason he should have been the head coach of this team. But again, it speaks to the Vikings curse.
The other thing that was fun about that episode, sorry, before I forget, was the Bounty Gate. And we have a mutual dislike for Greg Williams
and Sean Payton.
You know, they were like, that whole thing.
Yeah. Well, this is my take on that.
Okay.
I think Favre throws across his body cause he's got the crap beat out of him, and love him as, or hate him as a Packers guy who was a Vikings, nemesis for years. Brett Favre is the toughest quarterback in that era.
Yeah.
They beat him up. You know,
they did.
And 15 yards a couple of times, that's okay.
And he's, you know, he had a history of, you know, throwing that pick at the least, the most inopportune time.
Yeah.
And we talked about this during that episode. If you remember that game, he had at least 10 yards where he could have run for the first down, and he didn't. Probably because he got the crap beat out of him the whole time, and he, you know, threw a crossbody, and we all know what happened.
Did
after
you
that.
Know they have tape of Greg giving like a speech before the game and saying literally, if you cut off the head, the body will die, and naming people and And yeah. I don't think they ever talk money on the. We played it. It was a big long clip.
Somebody, but he's saying injure these people.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
And mentioning names. I want you to do this to this guy. I want you to.
Or we're going to find out how injured he is or whatever. You know, we're going to test his arm or whatever. Yeah.
I think he's been banned for life, if memory serves. Yeah. Sean Payton.
So back when I played rugby, we had a thing that we would do if your right ankle was gamey. You'd put a brace on your left ankle.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, because we didn't have film. Nobody knew who the other guys was.
Oh, I see.
So they attacked.
A red herring of sorts.
Yeah, exactly. Well put. Yeah.
Favre, it was a magical season. I still think that season's really fun to think about, and it was so unexpected. He had that off year with the Jets. He sent in dick pics to,
Jen Sturger.
Yeah, that came out the next year.
Who looks so eerily like Deanna Favre, younger.
He has a type.
So he has a type, yeah. As you said. We all do.
Finally, we brought it home with the last episode, and I think we're at about an hour for this recording. Yeah, exactly 1 hour, as I said that. Spooky. Yeah, we brought it home with the Minneapolis Miracle. I called it karmic retribution. Fun times to beat New Orleans, but then the next week.
Well, the Minneapolis Miracle was a divisional playoff game.
Yes.
And if you put food in front of a starving man, he doesn't care if the hamburger's cold. You just grip anything. And I just thought, once again,
you were fully in after that play. Yeah.
Yep, I was returning from on a flight, and when I was driving home, I heard the last minute and a half, 2 minutes of that game on my drive home. We all know that Paul Allen's amazing call on that.
Yeah.
And by the time I got home, I was in. This is the year.
And it was. No, it was going to be the year.
Yeah. And we did not have a great team that year.
Correct me if I'm wrong, just not competitive the next week, right?
Oh, gosh. It was 38-7. Yeah. We went down the first drive, scored a touchdown. I'm like, oh, here we go. And that was it. That was the only touchdown they scored. They didn't even come close.
By the way, you know who Case Keenan reminded me of?
Who?
Joe Capp
without the arm.
Grady?
Yeah.
Gritty, kind of
the same build. Cap wasn't a big
guy. Not overly talented.
Yeah, exactly, but tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously a different era where he didn't run over linebackers the way Cap did.
No.
But,
no. That wouldn't have went well for him.
No.
At all.
And Zimmer didn't care for him for whatever reason, but then I don't think he
liked it. Who does Zimmer like?
I was going to say he didn't like any QB because then Kirk Cousins comes in the next year and he didn't like him either. And so I liked Zim, not to get off topic, but... But then I think his voice just became deaf to the team after a while.
Yeah, I think he
can only be a curmudgeon so long.
Yeah. He's a good coach. I mean, look what's going on in Dallas. Yeah. He was the D coordinator last year. This year, they're the worst defense of all time, it seems. Any parting shots? I mean, we're through the journey. It seems like you and Mike had very similar journeys. I mean, they're all the same low lights, I guess we could say.
Low lights is a good way to put it.
Heartbreaks. It's you know what we should talk about? Let's talk about, are you in or are you out right now?
So after the first half of the Chicago game, I said to my wife, why do I do this? Because I was in before the season started this year.
Well, that was a good campaign last year. There's reasons to be, and you don't know what JJ is going to look like. He could be the next coming of, you know, whatever.
Yep, but in the first half, and actually 7 of his 8 quarters, right, he looks like a rookie who's a little bit overwhelmed, who's going to be good.
I think he's going to be good. The one thing I have to say about JJ is he does something that a lot of younger quarterbacks aren't able to do. He's at least trying to throw people open. I think in college, a lot of these quarterbacks come in the NFL and they don't realize you have to throw the ball when he's covered, right?
Yeah.
And JJ's willing to do that. And I saw some nice throws even in the last game where he allegedly sprained his ankle. Well, plus he had a baby. Nobody talks about it. He had a baby 2 days before.
Yeah, and he's 22.
You think he's let's give him some time.
But what scared me about it is that he just looks like he's not ready mentally. He's just and Carson Wentz gets in there, and Carson Wentz is a good, solid NFL quarterback. And with our defense, that may be all we need. So to answer your question,
are you in?
I At the end of the first game, I'm totally in. At the end of the second game, I'm just shaking my head. But at the I was driving back from Chicago last Sunday, listening to that game, and now I'm all in again, and I think I'm in.
Okay,
and I like Carson Wentz. I was happy when they got him as a backup because you got to have a backup. Who's got the better backup quarterback, the Vikings or the Bengals?
Well, no. Based right. off a one-game sample size.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But who has the better defense? I mean, that one's a no-brainer.
That's, right.
So
I'm in. This is going to be the year.
This.
I do have a question.
Battle cry of the
Vikings.
Go ahead,
Mike.
This is the year. There's always next year. yes. Now, Wentz looked much more comfortable, but he also had Darisaw back. You know, the old line, that game against Atlanta, I think he got...
they JJ had a running game. Mason did well.
Yes.
I told you about Mason. He's good.
Yep. And I had him on my squad the year before when he was in San Fran until he got hurt. He was doing great. But anyway, I think JJ's going to be fine someday. Yeah. I don't know. They were talking about this on KFan the other day. It's like, do you keep... There's now the age-old argument right now. Do we keep Wentz in? Well... One game does not make it, you know.
We know who Wentz is.
Exactly.
Give me a break.
Let's see how
he
does.
You ain't winning no Super Bowl with Wentz.
No.
I disagree with that.
Really?
I think this defense.
He's been on 8 teams in the last 8 years. How good could he be?
Yeah, but he's from North Dakota.
Oh, people just don't like him.
No.
Because you do hear that.
He hasn't been with the QB whisperer.
He's a Vikings. Oh. He's from Vikings country. But Wentz. Because you also can't win a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback, right?
In theory.
Yep.
He's not technically a rookie, but yeah.
Yeah, but I think Wentz can win a Super Bowl with the Vikings defense. The game they had against against Cincinnati was off the charts. But I think it does indicate that they're going to be a very good defense.
If he can Trent Dilfer it?
Yeah, okay, exactly.
What about this, Mike?
Nick Foles?
You don't check in and out. You stay a Vikings fan.
Yeah.
For the guys that check in and out, once the Super Bowl is won, I would imagine it's going to happen at some point over the next whatever.
Yeah.
Are you going to be bitter that, like, are you holding a grudge against the guys that jump off and jump on when you've been bleeding this whole time?
No. And, you know, we all handle grief.
Yeah.
We all grieve
plus
in
it's
different
like,
ways, right?
Plus, you know, it's like Terry hung in there the first 30 years. You know what I mean? It's like we're on year 50 now of heartbreak. It's like.
I have the luxury of having a heavy bag that I can go pound for an hour or two and get all that out of my system. And then, you know, I'm so much different now at the age of soon to be 62 than I was when I was 32. I mean, it would affect me for days. I went to the playoff game against the Bears. I brought my son. It was his first football game ever at the Metrodome, New Year's Day. And we were favored by 11 or something like that. And we get our rear ends kicked. And that one, I mean, it was silence all the way home. And I couldn't get over it for 2 days. Now it's like that Atlanta game. I'm like, all right, I just won't watch TV tomorrow. I'm fine, you know, and so it's a lot different. I think the older you get, the less you know, I'm still 100% invested, but
you have to be, I would suggest all Minnesota fans hang in there at least through KOC's reign, you know, when he's at, you know what I mean?
He's a good, he's a very, very good coach.
Yeah. And it's worth investing in. I'm sure something wild will happen and you guys will get your heart broken.
Don't forget this. That the Vikings have been around since 61. So that's 64 years without a Super Bowl. We're still 20 years away from the Red Sox.
Yeah. 20 years away from the most legendary. Yeah.
And how many from the Cubs? Maybe
100. I think 100. It was close
they
to 100.
Had 100 years.
Yeah.
Let's not do that. I won't be alive. And
any parting shots? I'm done. We went through the whole timeline.
Yeah. No. Real quickly, I think we'll probably circle back and do some Viking stuff since we're in the middle of the season. We're going to try to maybe even get to a on-site location somewhere, right? Potentially. But to be continued on what sport we hit next. So stay tuned.
Thank you for coming.
All right. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. This has been really fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. I'm JP. We'll figure it out and we'll get back to you soon. All right.
Bye.